everyone, and welcome to the Transform Your Confidence Show. This is a show about holistic leadership and advocacy, and I'm your host, Raj Gurn. Here's a bit about me. I'm a longtime serial entrepreneur who specializes in mindset, branding, media, communications, and marketing, and I firmly believe that great leadership and advocacy is predicated on the mission that everyone must benefit across the entire food chain. I'm an award-winning C-suite entrepreneur who has worked in the media and event space for the past 20 years with many Fortune 500, celebrity, and thought leader clients from around the world. At this point in my life, I seek to share my many insights and resources with anyone who wants to learn about holistic leadership and advocacy in a newly launched online community at the openchestconfidenceacademy.com, where I've mandated my entire organization to provide products and services that center around knowledge, action, and accountability. My goal with this show is to pull back the curtain, I mean way back, to bring you insider knowledge and resources on how today's changemakers are leading with intention and creating meaningful environments that serve everyone. I also want to help you reimagine what your life could be if you had a constant view from the top of the mountain. I believe that in order to get there and stay there, you need to learn from those who have a constant and unobstructed view of nirvana. These are not just the usual suspects, but the ones that sit in the middle of the volcano as the lava explodes to the top of the mountain. They are the crazy ones who change the world, and they are the ones that I want you to meet. Are you ready? Let's go. I want to go on a bit of a journey with you, if I may, just to kind of get inside of your headspace for anyone out there, you know, that feels like they have a big idea. I'd like to kind of give them some of your, you know, experiential wisdom. So taking a concept from idea to scale in and by itself is a huge undertaking, not to mention doing it in an industry that most perceive to be oversaturated with options already. And we kind of feel that pretty much every industry already has solutions, right? And this is, this it becomes more difficult to figure out what that big idea is. So for people who are deterred from entering similar oversaturated industries, of which most of them are today, what would you say to them in terms of the due diligence they should do to see if in fact there is a gap in the marketplace that could be filled by the next big idea? What would be some of the things that you would recommend them do?
That's a wonderful question, Raj. Honestly, it's a very good question. Let me replay it just to make sure that I am getting it right. You're saying, what due diligence do people need to do when they think they're entering an industry which is oversaturated?
Absolutely. To make sure that there is, in fact, room and there is a gap in the marketplace for their idea.
Yeah, I think, so number one, I would say, is make sure you're doing it for the right reason. Mm-hmm. The right reason cannot be money, unfortunately, because that you will not get it unless and until you really have a right reason. Like if you really think there's a negative space which you do not think is being met by anybody, you really have a burning desire to do it. So I think that's number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, I would say, is to truly think that, is this market big enough?
Right.
Like, there are lots of small oversaturated markets, right? And you don't want to be in a small oversaturated market. But a big oversaturated market sometimes has room for multiple players and has an opportunity. When something is oversaturated, it already is signaling that there is value to be created, which is the reason why so many people are trying to, either it has a lot of problems, mm-hmm. or it has a lot of value to be created, or both. And ideally both. But in that situation, you want to make sure that it is really, really big. As an example, for weddings, it's a $500 billion market worldwide.
Yeah.
42 million couples get married each year, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a big market. And so even if you basically like are able to get a percentage of the market, you still will be big enough. You will have an opportunity. to be able to be big enough. So second, I would say, is the market really, really big enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number three, I would say is, do you respect the customer, the competition, right?
Ah.
So it's very easy to just poo-poo on somebody else, right? Mm-hmm. Basically mm-hmm. say, well, they don't know what they are doing, their execution is weak, this is weak, they don't have design, they don't have technology, whatever that might be. That's just wrong, because you just have to think about it, that someone who left something cushy to start something just like you has something going on in their head, are smart. Like you cannot underappreciate your competition. You actually need to fully understand them, embrace them, and give them the benefit of doubt. Give them the benefit of doubt that they have done everything that you might possibly be thinking about. And like, what if they did? Like, so that's another important thing, that respect your competition, I would say.
I love that.
And then I think number four is, like, do not think like startups are like flipping a house, you know? Like, this might seem comical, but like, I think many people believe that, like, I will come in, I'll build something, and like in 2 years it will be like blah blah blah, and then I'll sell it and I'll have so much money. That just is very, very wrong. Like, why do people compare startups to the quintessential lemonade stand? It's because startups are that lemonade stand when you are actually dreaming to make a global multi-chain restaurant, right? Like, that you're dreaming of that when you're starting as a lemonade. Your startup is a lemonade stand.
Right.
You need to think that it is going to take that much long to build it into a multinational chain, right? So underappreciation of like how long it takes for something to work is a very big problem. And if you're in an oversaturated market, it is furthermore harder, right? Because you have to like cut out the noise, right?
Absolutely.
So I think number four, that like, just don't think that building a startup is like flipping a house, right? And I think lastly, probably very important, probably, is that you have to actually have a unique moat. Like something which is fundamentally different, which even if someone, like if one of your competition hired someone just as smart as you, would still not be able to do.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Like if you just think that you are the IP, you are the strongest person, like imagine there was someone just like you, if they hired that person, would they be able to like take you down? Because incumbents in an oversaturated space are very, very big, right? And like, you cannot just wake up and say, I'm going to build an operating system and beat both Microsoft and Apple. I mean, you just don't wake up and say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to have something which is just so fundamentally different than everybody else. And you have to be honest to your mirror.
Mm-hmm. Like,
not just say, just because I'm good, just because my angle is good. Well, they will copy your angle in 2 days. Then what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So I think when you want to approach a oversaturated market, I think I would probably say those five things. It's actually like, let's repeat them. That's interesting. So point number one, I would say, do it for absolutely the right reasons. Don't do it for making money. This is going to be a very long journey.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is that if the market is not big enough, it's not worth the squeeze, right? Like it might not be worth. Number three is that, like, are you really respecting what your competition is doing? That's number three. And I think four would be, it's not a small job. It's like a long job, right? It's like a lemonade stand to a multinational restaurant chain.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you have to believe that you have to have something which is so unique that it will take a very long time for someone to replicate, right? Like, we've spent like 6 years building Joy, right? Like 5 years building Joy. During all this time, we have like, even if I give you 10 examples, I'm not worried, because I have 500 of those which I have paid attention to and fixed. for someone to like discover and fix all of them is going to take someone a very, very long time.
Right.
So yeah, I think that you got to have a moat. So I think that before you enter an oversaturated market, you should give these things a thought.
So say, for example, a person checks off on all of these things. What do you think maybe one or two things are that they should ensure is in place to set themselves up for success? Like, what would that next stage be after doing all that research and getting that out of the way?
I think my advice is that reveal your secrets. And I know it sounds funny, but I say this often. Many founders and entrepreneurs like just hold secrets very close to their heart, and like they don't want to tell anybody because their idea is going to be stolen and somebody is going to take it away, and they should just like build it and make it perfect and then tell anybody anything. You know, seriously, the thing is, the risk of not talking with people is so high, like, and the chance of someone copying your stuff is so low.
Mm-hmm.
As an example, let's take an example. Imagine the Airbnb founders, Brian and Joe and those guys, they came to anybody like around 10, 12 years back and said, you know what, I have a great idea. I'm going to have people come in and sleep on an airbed in the extra bedroom that I have. And like strangers could do it and they will pay me money for it. Like, you would, even if you heard it, you wouldn't do it. You know, you'd be
right.
Like, why would I do this thing? This is stupid. Those ideas don't always feel logical at the very beginning. They just morph and they mature.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I would basically say is that's an important thing. Like, there are many examples, right? If somebody came and told you, I will create a software which will allow you to like type 140 characters and throw it into the ether and everybody else will listen and follow me, you'll be like, yeah, good luck, you know. That's, but you have Twitter now. I mean, like, there are so many examples like that, right? But if you go and talk and hear the perspective of people whom you are solving this for, it would give you so much benefit. It's underrated.
Right.
Like, the complete story is just listening to people for 5 years. And I cannot, and it's like going and telling people that, like, this is what I'm building. What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Starbucks and tell someone, what do you think? I'm doing this. Or even better, like, you know what I mean? Like, it just is, just go and talk to people and run things by them. Strangers.
Absolutely. Strangers
who have no reason to, like, please you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's, I think, the number one thing. Just talk to a lot and lot of people, and in some way don't have a solution which is waiting for a problem, you know. And let me underscore what I'm trying to say. You have an idea and you think it solves a problem, and then you basically go to somebody and you say, what if I built this, would it be cool? Like, guess what they're going to say? Yeah, it would be cool. They don't want to basically like make it sound like it's not cool. So they're going to say, yeah, of course. So no matter what you're going to, if you go with a solution and just ask people, will this work? The answer is always yes. Human beings just don't want to disappoint other people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you have to go and do what we call as problem interviews, not solution interviews.
I love that.
Right? Like, you have to go and just like hear. If you're trying to build Airbnb, you probably are like, well, when you go to some place, like, what are the kind of problems that you face? And maybe people will say, you know, I don't really want to spend that much when I go to that place. I just wish that there was some place I would just like camp for one night. Maybe a hostel would be fine too. I would share a room with some. Like, that's when you actually like listen to a lot of those things. Or like, you know, maybe you were building Twitter and people might be telling you that, like, I have this insight, which I feel like I would just share, and like-minded people would basically like debate about it or like talk to me about it, or we could form this community of strangers. Like, maybe you heard all that stuff and then you come up with a solution. as a go with a solution, then everybody's just going to say, yeah, that's a great idea. We are building wedding planning solutions. Like, we don't have to come up with a solution and go. We just go and listen to the brides, what problems they have.
Yeah.
And then we come up with the solution that works across the board.
Absolutely.
I think hence I said this, reveal your secrets. Just reveal them. Just go and talk to people, because that is so less risk. Nobody has time to leave all the stuff which they are doing, leave their dreams, leave their ideas to go behind yours. Means,
right.
You know, like, you'll go behind yours.
And building is too hard. It's too hard for someone to want to steal your idea just because you have a good idea. And so let me ask. Absolutely. So let me ask you this. So you get to a certain point where you're starting to see that there is proof in your formula, right? It's working, right? Fundraising becomes a big part of the scale game. As you know, you've done it on a couple of occasions. And there's so many ways to do it, right, Vishal? But before we tackle that, you know, particular part, I do want to mention this for everyone, that Joy recently raised $20 million for their next phase of growth. So first of all, Vishal, a huge congratulations, because I know that you've worked tirelessly with your team to kind of bring the company to this point. So I want to ask you this. How do people know how to raise money? And what I mean by that is, you got to come up with a number. You know, this is the number I need, and this is what this number needs to accomplish for me. How, through your experience, have you done that? Because I feel this is where a lot of startup founders fail, is they don't scale properly and they don't bring in the right amount of money, whether it's too much money or too little. Talk to me a little bit about your experience in that, just because I'm hoping that anyone that's listening, watching or reading this can kind of take heed on your experience here.
Yeah, so thank you for the wishes. It was a good milestone.
Great milestone.
Yeah. From, like, I think it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to even think that, like, we were in my friend's garage, like, you know, a few years back, and now we have raised over $46 million.
Wow.
And
before that, Vishal, before that, you were living in a household of an income that was extremely unheard of in the Western world. So let's at least remind people where you actually came from, right? Like, this has been an incredible journey for you, but one that I know that you've worked extremely hard to get to.
Yeah, and I think why I provided that is that it is not because we raised the money that I would, first of all, ask people whether they really do want to raise money, you know, because it's a very fundamental question that when you raise money, you're building a specific type of company. And I think founders have to fundamentally understand that raising money is not equal to success.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But we glorify it a little too much, right? Like, it's like, oh, they raise more money. It's kind of a reward for what you've done, but it's not really the first step, I would say, people should think. The first thing that people should truly think about is that if you want to build a company which actually will give good returns to you as a founder, it doesn't really need to raise money. Like, if you can make something which makes money on day zero, which is usually the case when you build any enterprise product, right? Like, where companies are paying for it. You can start with a very simple product which someone is willing to pay for.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really need to raise money. It's only when you have consumer companies which are not going to make money for a very long time, or what we call it as, like, hard tech companies, like, you know, trying to cure cancer, like things like that, like, it requires just a lot amount of capital to even get started. Hardware startups are another one. If you want to build hardware, it takes a lot of capital.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can build a company which doesn't need capital first, I would first say do that.
Right? Okay.
Because that is fundamentally gives you a very sound business principles at the very beginning of your company.
Right.
And
so then, I guess I'm doing something right, hey, Vishal?
Yeah. No, it's really, really good. I think that this glorification of purely like raising money equal to success is not true or not good. I don't feel extremely successful because of raising money, but I have learned to say thank you to everybody who congratulates us because that's our culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like we have so much more work to do. So now going back, assuming that you need to raise money,
right?
Usually the way to look at it is that let's say there are 3 points on thing A, B, and C, right? You're at point A and you want to go to point C. What usually you would have to do is you will have to somehow reach point B without any help.
Mm-hmm.
And then convince people that, look, I came from A to B, I can do this. And now to go from B to C is where I need money. And this is where I need money. We, as an example, we launched like during the pandemic, we were hard at work. Our industry was one of the worst hit, right? We spent mm-hmm. all the time trying to build the gift registry product.
Mm-hmm.
And we launched it this March and still during pandemic. And it has grown phenomenally. Like it grew like 100% month over month in revenue. It grew
wow.
double digit week over week in revenue, adding up to over 100% month over month. From like almost no revenue to like many, many tens of millions of dollars of revenue, we just grew quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we realized is that in order for us to scale this success to a bigger level, we had to start doing marketing. And we need some money in marketing, even though the money will come later once people start using registry, but we need to market it.
Yeah.
And so we need some money right now to be able to do that so that we can show more progress towards our point C. And like, you know, that's the reason why. Like, so we came to B just building the product and like showing that it works.
Yeah.
And then telling the world that we want to go to C and we can go with this money and therefore we need this money. And that is basically when people will give that they want to believe that you can go to this next point. Otherwise, you'll just say like, well, I want to build a startup that will cure cancer and I need like $100 million. Like, I can say that, but it means nothing, right?
Right.
Like, no credibility to say that.
Yeah.
So I would just say that many people spend quite a lot of time trying to meet with quite a lot of investors and keep hearing no so many number of times. I hear no too, so it's no special thing. But the point at that thing is that when you go and speak with these many investors, if you take this same amount of time, and instead of raising money, you spend that time trying to get to a point where raising money is easier. It sounds crazy, but like 3 months that you would spend talking to investors are better spent talking to your customers and fixing your product.
Agreed.
So that your numbers look so much better.
Yeah.
That it becomes easier to raise money. You know?
So what is your, like, so you just raised another $20 million. What is your C? What do people have to look forward to with Joy? What is your C?
Yeah. So I think what we wanted to do, number one, is that we want people to just know about us now. Like,
mm-hmm.
we worked so hard to make this product, but mostly it has grown completely word of mouth, right? So we now want to spend the time to like have people know about us.
I don't know how you did it, but it makes me smile. It makes me smile to know that you did this during COVID and without marketing. It's just brilliant. It just goes to show like how huge, guys, I hope you're listening to this, how huge of a gap in the marketplace there must have been in what normally people would perceive to be a very oversaturated, you know, market that's been around for as long as humankind. But there it was, this unique idea, those five different points that Vishal mentioned earlier. You got to rewind this back. You got to write that down, because that for me is kind of the ground zero of the value system that you need to create when you're going to the drawing board to figure out if you do in fact have the next big idea for a gap in the marketplace big enough in any industry. Like, is there anything else you want to add to that before I get ready to close this off? Which, you know, is like so sad because I feel like I have so much more to ask, which means I'm going to have to bring you back on.
Well, I'm thankful that it is adding value. No, I think we talked so much. I hope it was somewhat useful.
Very useful, Vishal.
Yeah. And I think as a parting message, what I would say is that like we work very hard to use technology, which was our strength, to solve problems which were our family's problems, like wedding planning stress. Mm-hmm. If you can find something which is personally calling to you and appealing to you, then it helps endure through a lot of difficult times. And otherwise, just like hopefully you check out withjoy.com and you tell everybody to use it. We are hoping to start marketing, so we will also try. But if you can help, we will really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And guys, you heard Vishal say earlier on as well that, you know, this is like any event that you guys are planning. All of the kind of tactical solutions that come with the experience of joy is really for any event that you may be planning. I mean, I love that. I cannot wait to see it, you know, just the iterated, expanded diversification of what you do with this when you go to market, because although the idea was to solve the problem for that one friend of yours, I think this is going to solve the problem for everyone that is planning any type of event. So I do recommend that everybody go and check that out. I cannot wait to see what else you're going to be doing and what you and your team have up your sleeve. So you do need to come back on and share that with me. But before I let you go, Vishal, I want to ask you this. Clearly, building anything is an uphill trek. What has kept you motivated and kept you going, especially during those times when you felt like everything just wasn't working? Like, can you give some words of wisdom there for people?
So, Raj, I think for us, surprisingly, it never really felt like things were not working. And it is not really that it never was true, but it was mostly a mind hacking of some sort. So you can think about it that problems are not in my control, but solutions are, right? And if you
spoken like a true engineer,
right? But I think the thing is what happens is that, like, if you have all these different issues which you're facing, if you find the most important issue and you just ask yourself this question, what is it that I can do to make this issue go away? Maybe it will not go away completely, but remedy it a little bit, right? Mm. The one most important thing, when everything is caving in, where is that crack of light that you can go towards, right? And usually that's what gets us very busy. Oh, things are not working. Maybe if we do just this one thing, there is a chance it would work. So let's just do that one thing. Then you just get busy doing that one thing. And then once you do that, then you realize maybe this one other thing, if you do, that will probably make it better too. And instead of just like getting bogged down by like, oh, things are not working, we just have always gotten busy on what can we do to make it work. You know?
Absolutely. So it hasn't been something that you've sat with in your head. It's been something that you've sat with in, you know, with a mindset of finding a solution. And I think that that really is the key message that I'm hearing you say here, Vishal. And I want to close off by asking you, what do people need to take away from our discussion today about how to scale your big idea online in an oversaturated industry? How would you encapsulate that?
I think I'll go back to a few of the points which probably we talked about before. But if you're about to enter an oversaturated industry, it obviously is a good sign, one, that it is oversaturated, so the problem exists or the solution has enough value. But if you get in without thinking, what is the reason you are getting in? Like, and is your, or if you get in without truly understanding your competition or respecting them, or if you get in without truly thinking how big this market is, or without really thinking how long it is going to take, or without thinking really like, do you really have a mode? Do you really have a unique thing which nobody else can do? Don't go in without that, like, because otherwise it just becomes very, very hard. And life is precious. If you have to spend 10 years of your life to solve one problem, ask yourself, is this the problem that you have solved? Right? Literally, that is the question you should probably ask. If I have to spend 10 years of my life to solve one problem, is this that problem? If it is, then it is wedding planning for us. We are having a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh, you definitely are. And I've had so much fun listening to kind of all of your experience, your wisdom, your insights that you've been sharing with everyone. I absolutely know that everyone's going to get a tremendous amount of value from this, Vishal. Thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your wealth of wisdom. I look forward to bringing you back on when you break unicorn status, my friend.
Someday. thank you so, so much. I really appreciate you taking the time, and thank you for all the good work that you're doing, Raj, because I hope that I can help in any way, shape, or
form. Vishal, thank you so much. I absolutely respect and appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out with Vishal and I today, folks. I really hope that you got some true value from our discussion and that you understand that you are just an idea away from changing lives, as Vishal has and continues to do. So think about a lot of these things that Vishal has shared through his own experience and his team's experience. And if any of what, you know, we have been talking about today helps you with your big idea in the future, I want to hear from you guys. Email me at askcoaching@theopenchestconfidenceacademy.com. Let me give you that again. askcoaching@theopenchestconfidenceacademy.com, as I'd love to feature you in a future show and talk about your story. For more trainings like this, please subscribe to the YouTube channel at the Open Chest Confidence Academy. I want you to also go check out the podcast platforms, Apple, Google, and Spotify, where you can search the show under the Transform Your Confidence Show. And I also encourage you to join our free coaching newsletter community. Just head on over to the website and then /newsletter. And finally, if you're looking for some support on some of the things that you're going through that is within my wheelhouse, which you guys know is mindset, branding, communications, media, marketing, leadership, and networking, I want you to go join my free professional development incubator, where I personally answer those questions for all of my members. Go to Facebook at the Transform Your Confidence group. And until next week, I'm sending you positive vibes to keep you focused on building your brand, your authority, and your best life. Thank you so much for staying till the end. I really hope you enjoyed the show. Before you leave, I would love for your support by subscribing to my show and letting everyone you know about it and have them come take a listen. I would sincerely appreciate you joining me at LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Search Raj Gurn and the Open Chest Confidence Academy. Until next week, I hope you continue to cultivate your own ecosystem so that everyone in and around it is empowered by your mission to elevate them all. See you next week.